Did you know cornea transplants have a shelf life? In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about my appointment with my cornea specialist and how my 82-year-old cornea tissue in my left eye may need to be replaced sooner rather than later.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 140 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode, and as usual, I have a few things to talk about. We'll talk about the short items first, and then I'll get into the meaty stuff a little bit later. I say meaty like it's actually going to be exciting. So the first thing, things for the all-blind fantasy football draft are really moving forward. We have a date now. It's the 9th of September. It's going to be in New York City. Very excited. Looking forward to that. And don't get me wrong. My team is still going to be terrible. And if you've got someone you want me to draft in the first round, somebody that's on a team that plays your team all the time, please let me know. And, make me an offer on what you'll give me to draft that person. And again, I'm not going to take somebody that's going to go in the third round in the first round, but if it's somebody good and they are someone who should go in the first round, I'll be happy to take them because, as I've mentioned more than once, whoever I pick in the first round will have some sort of horrific injury and be out for the season. And sometimes they have a bad year and then have the horrific injury. But that's usually what happens with me. And somehow I end up still sometimes being good, not in the last couple of years, but in previous years. I actually won a league once when my number one pick went down with an injury. And that was a while ago, though. So that is set. And of course, as that happens, I will talk about that more. And I realized when the date was set for the 9th of September, obviously a Thursday, we're going to be drafting just hours before the season kicks off. And so we're going to do the draft. The first five rounds or so are actually going to be live with an announcer, and we're not going to be drafting on the Yahoo app. And Yahoo is the one who's putting this all together because it is, of course, as the name of the league says, all blind. They're putting this out there. And we're using their app, and their app is fantastic, whether you could see or you can't see. If you can't see, the accessibility is outstanding. And it's really the first fantasy app. In fact, it's probably the only fantasy app that I've been able to use on a regular basis where I don't have to say, oh, I can't get through this part here. Let me go to my computer where I can zoom in. It's one that I feel comfortable using to do the draft on my own. Now, I have been toying around and trying to learn voiceover, and I'll get to that in a second. So that's all set, and I'm looking forward. Now, the one thing that I don't know, we don't know exactly where in New York. They've kicked around places in Long Island, Brooklyn, and even North Jersey. And, it's really going to be dependent on where they find. We're going to be shooting in some sort of house, it seems. Now, we're going to be staying at a hotel, but we'll be recording in a house. And I'm guessing a big house, but I don't know. If it's in North Jersey, I'm really hoping it's along the water, whether it's river or ocean. That will soften the blow of when I don't get the players that I want. And look, let's face it. Even if I do get the players that I want, the team's still gonna be terrible, more than likely. We play we don't play independent defensive players, so I can't be saved like I could in my other league when I won a couple of times because I picked the right defensive players, because that's what I always counted on, my defense to bail me out. And I think that's the case with just about any NFL team. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, let me just touch on it briefly. I mentioned voiceover, and I've talked about learning voiceover. Liz has a MacBook Air from school, so I've been trying to learn voiceover for that. And it's very different from, an iPad or an iPhone, because obviously with an iPad or an iPhone, you touch the screen and you do all sorts of gestures. And again, it's very different. The way I use my iPhone and the way you use your iPhone, very different. You have to hear what something is and then double tap to open it, let's say, or, you know, there's a two finger swipe this way, you know, three finger swipe or a three finger tap. I mean, all sorts of different things. So it's like that for the MacBook Air as well. It's not just simply pressing the enter button if you want to, you know, hit a button, you know, because obviously I can't see where the mouse is. So it's what's called the voiceover keys, which are two keys, and then the space bar. And I had some trouble the other day because I was practicing and the phone rang. And for some stupid reason, I answered it because it was our landline. And I've talked about this. I don't know why we still have the landline, but we do. And I answered it. And they were taking a survey about, it was a political survey. And I was, when they started talking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll talk about this. And it was only a few minutes, but in that time, you know, the screen, you know, the screensaver thing kicked in. So, and there's, it's password protected because it's, you know, a school computer. I couldn't get back in for the longest time because I'm trying to type in the password and then hit enter. And it was just, you know, making a donk sound. And so I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, VoiceOver is still on. I've got to do it that way. So I got to the right area of the screen where I needed to be and made sure I was typing it in. And I could, you know, as I'm typing the letters, it's typing the password in. And then I realized that because I'm in VoiceOver, I can't just hit enter. I had to hit the VoiceOver keys and the space bar. And as soon as I did that, boom, I was in. But, you know, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. You know that. So it took me a while to figure that out. First of all, when I first tried, I wasn't even in the area of the where you enter the password. And I had to figure out, again, it's not just tabbing from one field to another. You don't do it that way. So it's basically like learning a computer all over again. So whether I have the skills enough to use that during our draft, I don't know at this point. So we'll see. But a funny thing, as I was searching for, I wanted to have on my phone while I was using the computer, I wanted to have a list of all the commands that you need. So if I got stuck on something, I could just go to my phone and, you know, go through all the different commands to see if I could figure out on my own how to get from this to that or to do how I do a certain thing. So when I first Googled, I think I Googled something like VoiceOver commands on Mac. Now, this is unreal to me, and it shows how Google will approve something even though it's as dumb as can be. Now, obviously, if you're using VoiceOver for your computer, you can't see, and you need to have the steps in a certain way. Here was the top response to Mac VoiceOver commands on Mac. And it even got a little snippet. And if you're not familiar, the little snippet is the one where it actually puts part of the response right there on Google. So you don't even have to go to the page. And I thought, this is dumb. This can't be the top response. And, you know, if you do any kind of SEO, you know, and it's a lot that I've learned over the last few years trying to do these affiliate sites. To get that snippet is huge. To be the number one answer, just from being the number one answer to being the number two answer is huge. It's a huge amount of traffic difference. So the top response for VoiceOver commands on a Mac, I believe that's what I typed. First step. Step one, go to the upper left-hand corner of the screen and click on whatever it was. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to get to that upper left-hand corner of the screen? How am I going to get there? The entire list of how to do it, if you have sight, no problem. But if you had sight, why would you want to put on VoiceOver? You don't, because it's like using a completely different device than what you're currently using. Why would you subject yourself to that? And I Googled it a different way again to see what else came up. And finally, on the third time that I Googled it, I got to what I really wanted. And I think I get to get to that. I think I put list of voiceover commands. So I just basically had a list and my phone would read them out to me and I, you know, I could figure it out that way. It was the dumbest thing that I have ever heard. And I thought, if this page could rank number one for that, then Google doesn't care about folks who can't see. Now, I'll stop short of saying, as I do, Google hates blind people, because they do have some good things, and evidently their Chromebooks are pretty accessible. I have not tried them. You know, the last in-person National Federation of the Blind convention in Vegas, they had a big booth in the exhibit hall, and I've kind of been hoping, and I was almost hoping that I'd have time when I went to New York. Google just opened a store at their headquarters there, and I thought, oh, that would be a good way to, you know, go and try it out. And again, just because they have that store there, and just because the Chromebooks may be good with, you know, accessibility, doesn't mean that somebody in the store will know how to use it. And I still am hoping to do that. I'm still hoping to get over there. And, you know, because we're not going to be drafting in Manhattan, I don't know, you know, I don't know where we're going to be staying. We're going to be staying near where the draft is going to be held. So, you know, if we're drafting in Brooklyn, we're going to be staying in Brooklyn. If we're drafting on Long Island, we're going to be staying on Long Island. So I don't know that that's going to happen. But when I saw that, I thought that is the dumbest thing. And so I'll let you know how all that goes, both voiceover and the draft. And again, I'm going to have to record a little earlier that week, obviously, because I'm going to be away. I'm traveling on the Wednesday. Draft is on Thursday, football. And then we're going to do a watch party after the draft. So so if I pick somebody for Dallas or Tampa, I'll know how bad it'll be right from the get-go. And then coming back home on Friday. So again, you'll find out how that goes as we get closer. And I'm waiting to hear. We each have to talk to the director of the event in the next couple of days, you know, so he can get the backstory and all that stuff. Now, the one thing I'm a little concerned with, I was hoping to wear my I Can't See You podcast mask, but we were told in an email nothing that has logos on it will be allowed. So I don't know if that, you know, Brian Fischler, who was the commissioner, was, you know, mentioning, you know, hats and shirts. So I'm kind of thinking he probably also means the masks. Obviously, I'll take them with, but I'm going to take a, you know, a blank mask up with me as well, just in case. Because I'd like that publicity to have that on, but I also don't want to wear the mask and then be like Ernie Hudson in the pan and scan version of Ghostbusters, like he's not even in the movie. So we'll see. Second, very short update I want to give is BJ's. And there is no happy ending with BJ's, at least the store. We've been going back and forth, as you know, since patio dining set had arrived here on the 2nd of June with no response in some instances, rude, putting all the onus on us to fix a defective chair. The chair came, couldn't be completely assembled. All we wanted was to replace the chair. It's one out of six chairs. We got the six chairs, and the table, and then separately we bought the umbrella, which was a completely other problem that wasn't a defective problem. It was a way the stuff was listed on their website. Back and forth, probably between emails and phone calls and stopping into the store, probably a dozen attempts to fix it. And when that didn't happen, we fought the charge on our credit card. And initially, American Express sided with BJ's. And then we called back American Express, and they put it back into limbo again. Yesterday, I got an email saying that we can return the item. If it's not defective, we'd have to pay for shipping back. But it is defective. But how do we get it shipped back? So what we're most likely going to have to do is take the table apart, take the chairs apart, put them in the car, multiple trips, and take them over to BJ's. Now, again, BJ's is pretty close here, but again, it's a couple of trips, And it is just unreal, the nonsense and the lack of support and customer service they've shown throughout this whole thing. And as I was saying to Liz today, if we didn't rely on BJ's as much as we do for groceries and paper products like toilet paper and paper towels and tissues, and sometimes Liz buys a book, if we didn't use them so much for all of that stuff, I would just cancel the membership. I mean, it has been that horrible, you know, this experience. I will certainly never buy anything that's of any value, you know, to us. You know, and as Liz said, you know, how do they expect us to return it? It's not like we're taking a toaster back. So, you know, there's that update. I mean, it was just brutal. It's just been an ordeal that I'm just shocked at how poor the customer service has been. And I think that's more the norm now, sadly, than, you know, good customer service. You know, and it's only going to get worse as, you know, people start cutting back with hours because salaries are going up and, you know, everybody's doing stuff online. So I'll let you know how that goes as well as we move forward. But we do have 30 days. We do have 30 days to return it from the date of that email, which was yesterday. So at least we can use it. We can use 5 of the 6 chairs, you know, until the middle or end of September. You know, I'm recording this actually on the day it's dropping. In fact, if you're listening to this on Thursday, I just recorded it a few hours ago because it's, you know, it's around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, Liz has been at school and, you know, I've been playing with Ziggy, so I have not recorded until now. Okay, so let's get into the meat of this episode. There are 2 items that I want to talk about and maybe a 3rd if there's time at the end. I know that there's no set time, but I don't want to go too long because I, you know, it's just, it would be too long. Now, I've told you over the past couple of episodes of the saga of the phishing scam that happened with the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania and how I got sucked in to that and how in last week's episode, I told you that I was made whole again by going to the police and the bank and everything was reversed. So I got the money back and I thought we were good. I thought everything was good. I thought I was in the clear. Well, I was wrong. And what's happened over the past week, Jane had been looking around in her email account, and if you recall, Jane did 2 of the 3 transactions in the phishing scam. So, of course, the perpetrators, the evildoers, had her email address. So they had emailed her as me, and of course, they went into spam because her email address is a Gmail account. So that happened. And they were trying to get her to send the money directly, not knowing that Jane and I talk multiple times per day and text multiple times per day. So, you know, I said, it's a good thing we talk every day, or maybe you would have fallen victim to, to that. She's like, I wouldn't fall victim to that because this isn't how you write. A couple days went by after that, and I had emailed John over at Mainline Sportswear because I didn't have an invoice yet for the Keystone Chapter t-shirts. And I said, hey, you know, I didn't get an invoice in the box and I haven't received one in the mail since the shirts came. Do you have a number for me so I can send you a check? He responded to me on Friday of last week saying that they were waiting for the freight cost of the shirts that got delivered to me to send me a completed invoice. And that was, you know, midday, late day Friday. And I knew that in previous weeks when I had corresponded with John and responded to him, you know, during business hours on Friday, that he was out of the office earlier than 5 p.m. So I didn't bother responding until I was back on the computer. You know, it was around midnight. And I said, okay, great. Just so you know, it will probably be 2 checks, 1 for the freight, which will come from Liz and I, and 1 from Keystone Chapter for the actual shirts. I was hoping to pick the shirts up from where they were printed, but I don't think Mainline prints them locally. not 100% sure, but I don't think they would have been able to be picked up. Because I had mentioned to John, you know, I wanted to pick them up, you know, to save the freight, because they're, you know, their offices are in Ardmore, which is, Ardmore is where we bought our car. So it's not far, about 10 or 12 miles from Swarthmore. So when I woke up on Saturday morning, I'm checking my email as I'm laying there in bed and still kind of groggy. And I noticed that I have a response from John from Mainline Sportswear at, now I'm a little foggy on the time because when I check via webmail, the server lists Central Time, I believe. And when I check on my phone, it's obviously listed as Eastern Time. Of course, you know, Pennsylvania is in the Eastern Time Zone. So it's either 6:44 or 7:44. And it's from John. And it says, Dave, can you ACH the money? Because we've been having trouble with checks being lost in the mail. And had I not had any vision, again, written in the same form that John's other emails were written to me, had I not had any other vision, I wouldn't have noticed the fact that the font color was different. And the font color was different because it was forwarded. It was a forwarded message. And I could tell that. I could tell that by that. And then when I looked on my computer, the font color was not different. But, you know, when you have a forwarded message, there's usually either, you know, bullet points or a line on the left-hand side. It had that line on the left-hand side like it was, a, you know, quoting it from another email, which I could see. I could see that part. Can't see much, but I could see that. And I realized that not only was I part of that phishing scam, but somehow they had my information and intercepted that email, whether it was intercepted, they have my password, whatever. So that is still ongoing. So if you get an email from David at ICan'tSeeYou.com, don't send any money to me. If you get something from ICan'tSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com, send me all your money. That's legitimate. So I've been dealing with that. So my main email account that I do so much with, whether it's for the Keystone chapter or it's for my website or a host of other things, goes to my I Can't See You email account, which I've shut off sending. I've obviously changed the password. And in fact, I had Liz change the password on her computer, you know, go into the server and change the password from her computer just in case there was something on my computer. In the meantime, I've run all sorts of virus scans and hoping that there's nothing more on my computer, but I'm still nervous to plug in any kind of password on my computer, especially if it's involving that email address. I'm still getting email to that I Can't See You account, but if you send something to that account, I will respond with a different account. More than likely, it's going to be the ICan'tSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com. And that's what I've done. You know, my NFB stuff, NFB Newsline, same thing, you know? So that's, I honestly thought it was over and I didn't want to do anything. Now, the funny thing is, when Monday came and I didn't respond to that one email, late in the day on Monday, I guess it was not even that late in the day, afternoon on Monday, before I had talked to him, I got another email that said there was an invoice attached. And so at that point, I knew I was going to be talking to John. I didn't have time up until that point. And I didn't open that email that said it had an invoice attached. I talked to John. I said, John, I just have to ask you. I said, you did not send me an email on Saturday morning. He's, oh God, no, I don't send, you know, emails on the weekends for business. I said, okay. And then I got one earlier today with an invoice attached. I said, the invoice that I'm going to get from you is actually going to come from somebody named Nicole, right? And he said, yes. So I knew that that was wrong also. And then I explained the story to him, and he couldn't believe it. So I've got all that going on, and you know, so I'm kind of concerned, you know, if there's anything else on my computer that I need to worry about, or if the virus scan has, and the virus scan didn't come up with really much of anything that looked like it was from the phishing and, you know, this other issue. And who knows what other issues, you know, have come up. You know, I've changed all sorts of passwords to websites, and you know, I have so many different websites and control of so many websites from, you know, our work with digital graphics and, you know, Gmail accounts and whatnot. You know, I just trust the Gmail accounts more just because there's that extra level. And you could see how much better they are because Jane's emails that were supposedly from me ended up in spam because they knew it wasn't me. You know, it's just a higher degree of security with Gmail. So that's what's happening on my email. And so it's still ongoing, the scam, it seems, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see what else is going to happen. I'm afraid to ask or see what happens. The last thing I think I'm going to talk about today is my cornea appointment that I had in Philadelphia earlier this week on Monday. And, you know, the cornea specialist that I see, or at least their office, this was the first time I saw this doctor. She was available where the normal person I see was not, and it would have been probably months before I could see the guy who did the initial transplant. And it wasn't a full cornea transplant, it was just a partial transplant. It was just the endothelia. So I was able to get this appointment in Center City, and I, you know, they have three offices close by. Not, I don't want to say close by, because Center City is not close by. The Pagoda Building in Bala Cynwyd is not close by, and Media is probably the closest. But those three are all within a half an hour, let's say. Media is the closest. Media is the easiest for me to get to on my own, because I can just, you know, either use public transport to go from here. It's a bus from here to the Springfield Mall. And then from the Springfield Mall into Media, I could take a trolley. Now, the trolley is still not running, evidently. So it would be another bus. And that was, if you listen to when I went into Philadelphia, that was another fiasco as well. But, you know, I'd prefer Media, because even if I have to go on my own and take an Uber, it's obviously a lot cheaper to go, you know, the 5 miles into Media than to go into Bala Cynwyd, which is a half an hour drive, or into Center City, Philadelphia, probably about a half an hour drive. Center City is the second choice, because for me, I could take the bus to the train and get into Center City that way. And it's always fun to go into town. And so that's, this appointment was in Center City, Philadelphia. So I had the appointment, and I never realized, or maybe I did realize, that there is a shelf life of the transplant. And Dr. Ayers, back in the day, had told me that, you know, we should be good, and I don't remember a time frame. Maybe he didn't put it as a shelf life. Maybe he put it a little differently. But when the doctor that I saw the other day, Dr. Schrack, said, look, they all have a shelf life, whether it's, you know, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, if you're lucky. Now, it's been 13 years. This December will be 13 years. And so we talked a while, and she said that she doesn't know what might be the issue. And that's the trouble. And that's always the issue with my eyes, because so many things have been done to them over the years since I was an infant that, you know, who knows what it is. And maybe it's not even, obviously it's eye related because there's a problem, but, you know, it could be psoriatic related. You know, people that have some sort of psoriasis or psoriatic arthritis could also have, there could also be issues there. So she basically gave me two choices: do another transplant or try to up the meds. There is a steroid that I've been taking since I've had the transplant. At first, I took it one time a day, and then it was bumped to two times a day. She bumped me to four times a day, and she was comfortable with doing that. The one problem with the steroid is that it could raise the interocular pressure. And when you have glaucoma, like I do, that's what glaucoma is. When the pressure gets too high, there are these things called pressure spikes, and they jab into the optic nerve and kill it off. And as Dr. Garg had said when I went to see him, he's the retina guy. When I went to see him, he said, look, the glaucoma guy is the first guy you should go to. Because when something goes bad there, it's not fixable. You can't go back, which I've known my entire life, you know, since I was a little boy, that, you know, once the damage is done with the glaucoma, it's not fixable, at least now, or yet, I should say. So I went to the glaucoma guy, like Dr. Garg had said, and he said, you know, you should go see the cornea specialist. So when I went to try to make the appointment for Dr. Ayers, the cornea specialist that I've mostly seen and who did the transplant, you know, his time, you know, like I said, months in advance, and you know, and Dr. Pro, who the glaucoma guy, said, you know, look, you know, you could probably also see Dr. Schrack. So if you can't get Dr. Ayers, see Dr. Schrack. And that's who I saw. She's the one I saw. So obviously, the no-brainer is to try the drops and see what happens. You know, Dr. Pro, the glaucoma guy, said, you know, try these other things. And Dr. Garg had also told me to, it's called Miro 128. It's basically a very salty drop. It burns like you wouldn't believe when you put it in. But it's, you know, it's like, I liken it to, you put salt on your meat when you're cooking it to, you know, draw out the juices and whatnot. That's what it's, it's drawing out the juices of the swollen cornea. And that helped a little bit. I know it's only been a few days, but I have noticed a bit of a difference in my eye tearing a lot more since I've upped the Durezol, which is a steroid. You know, the Durezol is also used to, you know, if there's any rejection. Now, usually with eye tissue, there's not a lot of rejection because there's just not a lot of blood flow to your eye. So I've been told. You know, as I was leaving the office that day and walking out to, you know, talk to Liz, she was waiting in the waiting room. And it was a great time that we went. It was right after lunch, so there was no one else in the waiting room when we got there. You know, it didn't matter, you know, all the COVID stuff going on. It wasn't like we were going into a packed appointment. So that part was nice. So when I was walking out, I'm thinking, oh, you know, so many things could go wrong with a surgery. You know, again, because of all the issues that I've had with my eyes over the years in my lifetime, you know, just doing the surgery could, you know, destabilize the eye where, you know, the glaucoma goes crazy and I need a glaucoma surgery. Or, you know, obviously any kind of infections and things like that. You know, of course, we have to stay on top of the extra times I'm taking the drops because that could, you know, have the pressure spike, like I mentioned. And, you know, that could become bad too. Now, since I had a trabeculectomy back in 2003, which is hard to believe it was 18 years ago, my pressure has been on the low side. And low pressure, while it doesn't hurt the eye, it, you know, if it's too low, and the day I was at the appointment, it was at 5, you know, can also make it difficult in seeing. And that also could be part of the issue, you know, why I was having trouble. But I mean, it's just been bad. As I've mentioned to you over the last few months, it has been, you know, tough to read, you know, some of the graphics on TV when I'm watching the news, seeing the baseball score, and stuff like that. So most of the times now, if I'm sitting there watching TV by myself and I know the Phillies are playing, I just hope he says the score soon because I don't even try to look at the score because I know sometimes I see it, sometimes I don't. And then I get mad when I when I don't. And maybe I get even madder when I find out that the Phillies are on the wrong end of the score. So I've been doing the drops, and then I go back in October. Now, fortunately, in October, I was able to get an appointment in media because at that point, Liz is back in school. And so I'll just take an Uber from here to media and then maybe take public transport home. Haven't thought that far ahead, but, you know, it's only around a $12 to $15 Uber ride. Obviously, if I take public transport, it's only a few bucks, but it takes an hour and 15 minutes because of the changing from the trolley to the bus. And I'm not sure I've ever mentioned, I am terrified of crossing the street in the suburbs, because it's not like when you're in a city and it's a grid and you know, okay, you know, you can listen for the traffic. Sometimes there's not a lot of traffic in the suburbs. And so you don't know who's got the green and who's got the red. So I'm just not very comfortable crossing the street. And so I would probably take an Uber back from the appointment and public transport too, because I wouldn't have to cross any streets. So, so I'm interested to see what happens with my vision as I'm into this a little bit further, to see if it gets any better. I mean, I've been having great difficulty reading stuff on my computer, and, you know, checking things. I've gotten to the point where I don't trust my vision of what I'm seeing on the screen unless I actually listen to it. If I listen to it and it tells me one thing, I was doing some work with NFB Newsline last night, and I think I was looking at the address line, and the person's apartment number was 3B. And I'm zoomed in, and I said, you know, to me it looks like it's 3B, but it could be 38. So I highlighted it and I let it read it to me. And again, that's not voiceover, that's text to speech. So that isn't the same as voiceover. And the problem is it's harder for me to do that now because I have harder time seeing where I want to highlight, and it doesn't do everything. Like for example, with the phishing scam, I wasn't able to hear what the email address was when I got caught up in that. I heard that it was from a person named Lynn Heights, who is the president of the NFB of Pennsylvania, but I wasn't able to read the email address, you know, on my phone. And when I came to my computer, I zoomed in and I saw the first word was president. So I didn't read any further because it was so hard for me to even read that. And I can't highlight that easily, you know, because when when it's a link like that, and that obviously that's an email link, you know, it would have just opened up a new email. And I guess I could have done it that way. But I didn't. So that's when I realized, hey, I'm going to have to learn voiceover at some point. And if I don't learn voiceover, I'm going to have to go back to some sort of Windows machine or a Chromebook and use some other technology. On a Windows machine, it's called JAWS, which stands for Job Access with Speech. I like the acronym JAWS, but, you know, a lot of people that use it don't, you know, aren't, you know, at a job. I mean, obviously that's initially what it was developed for, but, you know, people are, you know, retired and sitting at home trying to go on the computer. That's what they're using. So I have that, and I know now that I've got to learn one, whether it's, like I said, voiceover or something else. And I want to give voiceover a really good try because, you know, I have a Mac. I don't want to have to go out and buy a Windows machine and whatnot. If I can't figure out voiceover to the extent that I need to know it, you know, then I could come to that determination. And, you know, certainly a Windows machine is a lot cheaper than a Mac. But the software is more. And, you know, when you buy a Mac, the software comes with it. It's from Apple. Voiceover is, you know, on every Apple device. So, you know, the nice thing about the appointment being in town, and I don't know that, you know, if I ever go to an appointment in town, I know for sure I wouldn't do this. Going to the appointment, Liz said, as we're leaving the appointment, she's like, we're going to go to Franklin Fountain, right? And the appointment where the office was for this cornea specialist was at like 9th and Walnut, just around the corner from Wills Eye Hospital, which is right on the corner of 9th and Walnut. This was actually on South 9th Street, you know, half a block in, you know, heading towards Market Street. And I said, okay, I didn't think about it too much. I didn't, you know, I said, well, why don't we walk there? The car's already parked. Let's just leave it and not have to worry about finding parking again. Although it seems like it might've been easy at that time of the day. My appointment was for 1:00. And, you know, by the time I got done, it was probably 2:30. So we just walked it. And, you know, it was around 9 blocks. Franklin Fountain is at just east of 2nd Street on Market. So roughly about 8 blocks or so. And obviously, when you're having ice cream, to walk 8 blocks each way, you know, that's nice to walk it off a little bit. And it's the first time we've had Franklin Fountain since the pandemic, and it was so good. They changed a little bit. They now accept credit cards, so you're not fumbling for any money in the car, in the seat cushion, and in the cup holders, like Liz and I did one time when we didn't realize it was cash only. And we get this thing called the Mount Vesuvius, which is basically ice cream brownies, which seemed like they were just out of the oven, and then hot fudge, and probably the hot fudge on them made them seem like the brownies were fresh out of the oven. And it was so good. It was so worth every calorie that they had. But it's, you know, I love walking in that section of town in Center City and Old City, you know, walking from the one to the other. You know, Walnut and Market are a couple streets off. So I asked Liz as we're walking, I said, you know, when we get to 5th, let's go down 5th Street towards Market so we can walk in front of Independence Hall, because there's just something special about walking there and thinking that, hey, this is where everything started, right in that building right there. And it's also significant to me because I, you know, being blind, you want to still be independent and to, you know, see that, you know, just the play on words. You know, I just love doing that. And it's, you know, when you're living in Topeka, you know, you read about Independence Hall and, you know, the Continental Congress and all that stuff in a book. Here I'm walking right by it. And, you know, just, you know, it's something special. And I love doing that. And we did take a selfie, which I keep forgetting to post on Instagram. But I will do it, I promise, one of these days, along with that t-shirt of me and the Keystone Chapter t-shirt, which I still also haven't posted. But the day's not over, so maybe later today. So it's just nice. And I don't think I would go on my own because the Mount Vesuvius is so big. I don't know that I could eat the whole thing. I mean, I'm sure I would, and I could if I really pushed myself. Sounds like I'm doing something important, pushing myself to eat a whole sundae. It is. It's big. And, you know, it's plenty for Liz and I. When Jane goes with us, and Jacob's never gone with us there, but when Jane goes, we usually get 2 things. We get the Mount Vesuvius and some other thing. And then we're usually a little too full. But it's, you know, nice to go to. It's a great place. And so Franklin Fountain, look for it if you ever come to Philadelphia on Market Street, in between 1st and 2nd. And just so good, just so good. And, you know, that's the nice thing about going into Philadelphia. And again, a lot easier for me than going to Bala Cynwyd. Bala Cynwyd is just across the city line from Philadelphia. It's in Montgomery County, so there's not direct train travel there. If I wanted to go by train, I could go into Philadelphia, then come out of Philadelphia on a different line, and it would just take forever, especially the way the trains run around here since the pandemic. Some of them only run, now I don't think this is the case during the week, but on the weekends, some only run every 2 hours. And it always makes me think of Jane, because Jane always complains, oh, I just missed the subway. And like, Jane, doesn't another one come in like 5 or 10 minutes? She's like, yeah. You know, not the case here with the train. So, you know, that's all I have for those things. Now, for the last couple of weeks, I've wanted to touch on a couple of things, and I'll briefly mention it. A lot of podcasts I listen to talk about, you know, what are you watching? What are you streaming? What are you reading? So forth and so on. And I just have to mention this briefly. On Netflix, I'd been wanting to watch Lupin, which is a French show, a Netflix original. And I absolutely loved it. It was 10 episodes. I'm done it already. I started a couple of weeks ago. And I absolutely loved it. Now, one thing I didn't love was the description was awesome. It was audio described perfectly. But when you do the audio description and you can't do the subtitles where, you know, typically, for example, in Homeland or Homeland's a bad example because I don't think that was audio described. Jack Ryan on Amazon, when that is happening, when they're in a different language, you know, when Jack Ryan is in, let's say, the Middle East and they're speaking Arabic or Farsi or whatever, and the subtitles come up, you still hear the original voice. You know, you still hear them speak in Arabic. The subtitles come up, and then the person who's doing the audio description also reads the subtitles. And it's, to me, it's more authentic that way. And then you hear the voices of the actual actors. In Lupin, it was either audio description or subtitles. If I wanted the subtitles, I got basically the dubbed version. I'm sorry, if I got the audio description, the subtitles that were on the screen, you know, I couldn't see them. So I had to, it was all dubbed. Audio description said what was going on in the scene, and then the dubbed voices talked about, you know, did the dialogue. If I wanted the subtitles, you know, I obviously couldn't tell what was going on. So there was no way of having the subtitles read by the audio described. And I was bummed by that because, you know, it just sounds, sometimes it's a little forced and, you know, they have to get, you know, maybe in French something is a couple of words, but in English it's, you know, a whole bunch more words. So they kind of force it in there. They kind of jam it in there to make it so, you know, the person's not standing with their mouth not moving, not that I would be able to tell, and words still coming out. So that was a little disappointing. Same thing with Money Heist, which is a Spanish show that I watched, and I understand a new season is coming out soon, which I'm excited for because I really like that a lot too. But same thing, it was all described and dubbed. So, you know, if I ever saw an actor, you know, in a show that where they were speaking English, I wouldn't know them because, you know their voice, I don't know their voice. And, but really good. If you like, very similar to like Thomas Crown, Lupin is, similar to Thomas Crown and things like that. You know, it's, based on a book from 1905, or a series of books. It's called, Arsène Lupin, The Gentleman Thief. And, it was just, the 10 episodes were awesome. I really liked them. And it doesn't hurt. I, you know, obviously French stuff I love. And so that part was cool as well. But it was really good. Really liked it. Another thing I wanted to talk about briefly, White Canes Connect. The third episode is finally up. Besides being on my site, is up on the NFB of Pennsylvania site. Hopefully it's an actual podcast within the next few weeks. I've been sidetracked because of all the stuff that's been going on with the email. And that's pushed me back because I have other things to do, like Believe You Can, which is the talent show that's coming up in October. So I've been working on that website. You know, we did episode 4. We just have some finishing things to do. Lisa was sick, so we didn't do the intros and we didn't do the, you know, usually at the end of each episode, we talk about some things that are coming up from different chapters around the state of Pennsylvania. So, but the episode is actually, it's really cool. It's with my friend Eugenio and a guy named Mike Patterson, and they are part of the American Blind Bowling Association. And it just, as much as my hands always hurt, I would love to do that again. I would love to bowl, even if after like 3 or 4 frames, you know, my hand's going to be swollen and hurting so bad, I doubt I can do it. I guess I could always just throw it between my legs, right? In fact, the last time I think I was bowling was my friend Alex's birthday when he turned 50. That was, we had dinner and then we went bowling. And I was cruising for the first few frames until my wrist started hurting and my hand started hurting. And I quickly fell from, you know, first to worst. But it was still fun, and it's still fun being around people and doing that. Although I guess maybe with COVID, who you really want to be close to, close to a bunch of people you're not spending a lot of time with. But it just sounded awesome. That episode should come out in the next couple of weeks. You know, obviously I'll talk about that. But we also did, we started, and this was a little disappointing. We started for episode 5. We're talking to a couple of people from a company called Envision, and their website is letsenvision.com. It's a device, it's an app for your phone, similar to Seeing AI, which I know I've talked about, but Envision does a little bit more, and they also have these glasses, part of a Google Glass, that you use this app with, and you can use just the app on your phone, and there's a 14-day free trial if you want to look it up online or on the App Store. You know, it will describe money. It has a magnifier on it, which I've actually used the magnifier a few times already since I tried the demo a while back. And when I knew we were going to be speaking to these folks, I went and I paid for a year, and yeah, I didn't want to because again, when I use Seeing AI, I figured that's good enough, but I've grown to like it more so since we spoke to Hope, who is a brand ambassador for Envision. But the person from the company who developed the app, his name is Karthik. They're based in the Netherlands. He didn't show up for the appointment, so we didn't speak with him. So until we speak with him, we're, you know, the episode's, you know, gonna, you know, just reside on my computer, and you know, there's no need to do anything because, you know, he is the main part of the episode. So I was disappointed that he didn't show up, but just by talking with Hope that day, you know, I thought, you know, I'm going to give this more of a chance, you know, to use it. And again, very cool. You know, Seeing AI is free. Envision is not, but it seems like at this point, at least, it does a little bit more. But check out those, at least check out episode 4 of, White Canes Connect, when that drops. And again, I'll mention that. Hopefully it'll drop by next week, and I'll have the link for you for next week's episode. But the bowling sounded like a lot of fun. And the cool thing is they bowl, I'm based in Delaware County, Swarthmore is in Delaware County, so it's not too far. So I thought that would be cool to do. Again, you know, I'd have to do it a few times to see how my, you know, again, my hands and wrists are, you know, probably my weakest link as far as, you know, the psoriatic arthritis. So I'm also interested in seeing, you know, when I do travel to New York in a couple of weeks for the draft, how I'm going to make out. Because when I walk around here, I typically do not do the regular sweeping of my cane. I hold it, again, like I mentioned before, like a goalie holds a hockey stick, you know, goes from lower left to upper right. Because Liz will tell me, okay, there's a lip or there's a curb or whatever. You know, I do very little sweeping because it just hurts so much. So I don't know how I'd make out with the bowling. So I'd have to try it because I don't want to sign up to do 25 or 30 weeks of a bowling league and, you know, realize, hey, I can't do this every week. But it just sounded like fun. And, you know, it'd be nice to hang out more with Eugenio, who we roomed together at previous year's Washington seminar when it was in person, right before everything got shut down. That episode, like I said, the bowling episode should come out next week, and I will talk about it if it does drop next week. That is all I have for you this week, though, and I do appreciate you listening. I hope you're staying safe, washing your hands if you're still supposed to do that. You got vaccinated if you want to. You wear a mask if you want to. I'm not going to get into it. I wear a mask out, but you know, if you don't want to wear one, that's fine by me as well. Just don't cough on me, please. Again, I really appreciate you listening to the I Can't See You podcast. This has been episode 140. Stay safe, be well, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.